They marched all the way back and tied this game against Missouri State, and they tied this matchup up. But in the fourth quarter, Missouri State with back-to-back touchdowns to take a lead. Man, not a good day for men's basketball. Not necessarily the – well, I should say it's a roller coaster of a day for football, but volleyball should be the way that we lead off, Zay, knowing that they clinched a share of the Conference USA regular season title with the win today over FIU.
Yeah, they should be the headline, but unfortunately, you know, Minor fans, they're going to focus on the two losses, and you said the doubleheader. UTEP really, like, they never win these doubleheaders, right? The last time they had one, they lost they didn't lose to Pepperdine. They lost to Loyola Marymount and Liberty on the same day, and now it's trending towards yet another double L as UTEP is going to probably fall to Missouri, and, you know, I'll bet you this, guys. I bet the UTEP volleyball won on the last UTEP doubleheader.
I bet they did indeed. As Missouri State did make the extra point, they're up now 38-24 over the Miners. This one with under 5 minutes to go, only 3 minutes left. And Zay, yet again, the Miners put themselves in a good situation to try to come back and win. But, man, not able to hold down Missouri State, not able to hold them here in the fourth quarter. Very disappointing right here for the Miners as they came all the way down, or back, I should say, after being down 24-7 when it was at the end of the first half. So now it's 38-24, and Missouri State has scored back-to-back touchdowns here in the fourth quarter. Long sustaining drives for the Bears, by the way. And the topsy-turvy game, a game that's kind of been a roller coaster in all different places.
Yeah, and, you know, coming in, we knew it was a battle between UTEP's defense and Missouri State's high-powered offense, and Missouri State's offense has just won today, right? This is the first game that the UTEP defense just hasn't had an answer all game, right? They had some momentum going for them in the third quarter, but that's, you know, the whole UTEP team was on fire in that third quarter. I mean, they outscore them 17-0, and you know, Missouri State was able to calm themselves down and really put together, like you said, long sustaining drives. I mean, the Clark quarterback, he can sling it, man. He can sling it, and he's just been torching this UTEP secondary, who I think is without Neil Campbell today.
I believe so, too. I saw Blocker in a ton, and you had your eye on this one last week, Zay, when UTEP was taking on Jack State. Now not necessarily having their best cornerback right now. That's not good at all for the Miners, and only 3 minutes left here in this football game. We'll get back to the football game in a second. Let's talk a little basketball. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. JT Money back at the studios as well. Help produce the entire show. Help produce the entire broadcast. Appreciate both Zay and, of course, Jason Tafoya here on the program with us as we continue. Utah State defeated UTEP 75-51. Want to give a big shout out to our sponsors here on Minor Talk. Jack in the Box, thinking way outside the box and open 24/7 because cravings don't have a curfew with Jack in the Box. Also, big shout out to Boomy Dental, rooted in El Paso, best dentist you could find. Visit them online at BoomyDental.com. That's BUMIDental.com. Stop by at 1612 Lee Trevino on El Paso's east side, or give them a call at 915-591-2525 today. Also, we're brought to you in part by Thomas Adams Apparel. Learn more about custom orders if you've got a business, if you've got a sports team, whatever it might be. Thomas Adams Apparel can make you stand out with custom hats, polos, hoodies, quarter zips, and plenty more. 100% satisfaction on every order. Visit thomasadamsapparel.com today to start your custom design and elevate your style. That's Thomas Adams Apparel. Also brought to you in part by New Start Homes, the District Pub and Kitchen West at 3233 North Mesa, where they're showing the big one tonight. UFC 322, Islam Makhachev taking on Jack Della Maddalena. Should be a great one. No cover out at the District. Check it out. And if you're watching some UFC tonight, or if you want to watch some more college football tonight, stop by the District Pub and Kitchen West. Also, big shout out to 915 Tours and New Start Homes here on the program. As we continue, Zay, let's go back to basketball. Let's talk a little hoops here on the program today. The Aggies of Utah State demolished the Miners in this one 75-51. This was UTEP's bye game. Like, they're going to get paid going out to Logan and losing to the Aggies here in Utah State. And Utah State, they looked every bit of that $2 million roster that they're rumored to have. They look high-flying. They simply overpowered, outmatched the Miners, and now UTEP having to collect themselves themselves heading into a two-week stretch where they close out the month of November, taking on St. Thomas, which should be a big win. That's a team that's on a lower level than the Miners. William and Mary and UAB in the Jacksonville Classic, which should be interesting. And that's how UTEP will wrap up the month of November right here, Zay. Do we know anything about this team yet? Anything at all?
I think the things that we do know are probably not great, right? I mean, they struggle to score the ball in the two games against Division I opponents, and it's the same story, though. You know, we talked about it last Minor Talk. Say it again, reiterate it. It's the same story that we've seen from these Joe Golding-led teams in the past couple of years. You know, they're going to be good defensively. I think that's a stretch, right? I don't know if they're going to be good defensively, but they're going to be good at turning you over. They're going to get a lot of turnovers, and that's how they're going to generate offense. And if they're not able to do that at a high level and teams force them to score out of the half court, then it's going to be a long game. And Utah State did exactly that, and they suffocated UTEP. You know, nobody really impressed me offensively tonight, and that's a big red flag for me.
Hey, UTEP just had a turnover on downs. Turnover on downs for the Miners in football. And quickly switching it back to UTEP versus Missouri State as that game winds down. The Bears are up 38-24, and Skylar Locklear was hurried. Turnover on downs on fourth down, pushed out of the pocket. His pass was real incomplete, not even close to his intended target. Now the Bears up by two touchdowns. There's only 2:26 left in the game. The Miners do have all three timeouts, but one or two first downs and this game is pretty much over. They could take victory formation. They can kneel this one out. And this is another loss for the Miners that they're looking at, staring them right in the face. Zay, you know, when we go back to this basketball game, I look at, again, rebounds. Utah State against the Miners today, 41-24 in the rebound margin. That just looks horrible. And UTEP scores 51 today. Again, another matchup where they score under 60 points. Back-to-back games, I get it, against better teams, but the Miners just couldn't get it done. Elijah Jones being the only Miner to score in double figures, offense didn't have it. And I think you pointed that out the entire game in this matchup against Utah State.
Yeah, I pointed it out so much because it was so evident. I mean, you see bad offenses. You see bad offensive stretches and games from UTEP and really anybody, right? But this one, it was just so obvious. Like, nothing was going their way. Early in the game, Caleb Blackwell, he had a big three, you know, deep range, and it gets overturned because it's a shot clock violation. And from then on, right, I kind of knew, like, this is the type of game it's going to be for UTEP. They're just going to struggle to score the basketball. And even in their transition opportunities, they just didn't look great. They didn't look great. And it comes down to the guard play. You know, I was very disappointed with the guard play tonight. Really, nobody was able to generate offense and make plays on the ball, you know, make plays for themselves. And it really did show. Like, I said it three or four times every time I was tweeting out, because, you know, the defense did show up in spurts, but the offense just was a no-show all game.
It really was. I mean, no-show all game. They have to find some kind of offensive identity. I get it, just two games in. You know, Joe Golding talked about it in the coaches show, and we'll spend some time right now talking about the basketball game, and I think we're going to put the basketball game to bed, Zay, right after that, and then we're going to switch it over to some football talk. If we get Sal, great. If we don't hear from Sal, then we'll hear from him after the Battle of I-10 for sure, because he still has the post-game show to attend to. But this one is clearly winding down here in football. They're just over 2 minutes to go. UTEP just burned their first timeout. I want to spend some time right now talking basketball. So if you have any basketball thoughts, 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, 600ESPNElPaso.com, or our free mobile app at 600ESPNElPaso. This is coming in from Sex Panther Minor. Even the basketball team is hot garbage. This is coming in from Little King Official. Just scrap basketball and football and throw the money at baseball or tiddlywinks. This is from a couple other posts. Tristan Pence, UTEP was not competitive today. That's now 10 losses against the last 11 Division I basketball teams. It's year five under Joe Golding, and it looks like another forgettable season. Joe Golding has taken a wrecking ball to the UTEP men's basketball program, and it's all been facilitated by Jim Center. Wow. Blaine McDonoghue, if I'm not mistaken, Golding earns a $25,000 bonus by keeping the losses under 29 points as set in last year's road opener, thus showing marked improvement. Somebody please confirm with Jim Center. Wow. Zay, fans are upset about this loss right here to Utah State. I just say this, talent discrepancy is real between both the Aggies and the Miners. I mean, it seems like they're competing in complete different leagues right now.
Yeah, and, you know, we see, you know, at Miner Talk, you're going to get a lot of frustrated fans after a loss like this, but the frustration has truly shifted, I think, this season in both football and basketball, and there's a lot more heat on Jim Center from the fans. That's just what I've been noticing, you know?
Sure, over the last couple weeks especially, right?
Yeah, I mean, usually you'll have the occasional, right, let's get rid of Joe, or somebody will, you know, come far-fetched and say let's get rid of Scotty, but a lot of it has really turned on Jim Center. I think that's just to show that UTEP fans are fed up with losing in every sport. You know, volleyball, yes, they get a Conference USA championship today, but they're the only successful fall sport. Soccer had yet another down year. Football is trending towards, you know, probably their worst year since 2013, or, you know, outside of the winless years. And then basketball is what it is, right? We don't want to make too much assumptions yet, but it's not looking great. And it's frustrating, right, to not see your team win games in really any sport outside of volleyball.
915-505-6009, our telephone number. Utah State defeats UTEP in men's basketball 75-51. We're on here on the postgame show for Miner Talk, talking a little bit about this one right here. We'll be back in action next week, St. Thomas on Wednesday for the UTEP men's basketball team, and then Battle of I-10 next Saturday, a week from today here at the Sun Bowl. Let's go to some individual stats for the Miners. Caleb Blackwell with 7 points. 3 for 10, Zay. 1 of 5 from beyond the arc. He couldn't hit anything today in this matchup.
Yeah, but you know, I still think he was the best offensive player UTEP had, just because he was the only one really getting shots off, the only guy being aggressive. Everybody else was timid. You know, I think they have so many guards and so many guys that sometimes I feel like they're too unselfish. You know, they're too unselfish. I want somebody to go out there, take initiative, and shoot the basketball, and we just didn't see that.
20 minutes for Tyrese Watson, who today, 4 points only, 1 for 3 from the field. He had 1 rebound, no assists, 3 turnovers, and 4 fouls in 20 minutes. 3 steals, by the way. But, you know, you have 3 turnovers on your side, you force 3 turnovers. I don't know if that really adds up or stacks up right there, Zay. That's not the best effort. Even, you know, you look at Kasim Watson, 2 points, 1 of 7. Both those guys combined for 2 for 10. But both Tyrese Watson, Kasim Watson, no relationship right there. But, yeah, that's not what you want to see from those two guys, who Kasim is more of a combo forward, and then, of course, Tyrese Watson should be one of their more focal points offensively. Just really struggled in this one. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next, 600 ESPN El Paso.com. I also want to shed a light on this one right here, Zay. 9 points for Jamal West Jr. He had 20 in 24 minutes. He had 3 blocks as well. A little bit more of a well-rounded approach from a guy like him. I just, you know, you need it consistently for something like this, Zay. You need to see Elijah Jones. You need to see Jamal West step up in the, you know, inside the paint. And I feel like tonight, it's just not enough. Against a team like Utah State, it's not enough. And even though Jamal West had a better game than he had against LMU, still struggled in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the bigs have been extremely disappointing these two games. You know, they came out against the Division II guys, the D2, D3, you know, the UT Permian, all of that. And they looked pretty good, you know. It was the first time that I felt really comfortable with UTEP's front court, and I've just changed my mind since then, right? They got manhandled against Loyola Marymount, and they got manhandled here today, right? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They did not look good, any of them. I mean, you mentioned Kasim. He just hasn't been this offensive scorer UTEP has really expected out of him. And, you know, Jamal West, props to him. We said it last game, he's 6'6", battling these big 6'10", 7-footers, but it's just not there. It's not there. This experiment putting him at the 5, just it has not worked.
No, it hasn't. Well, not yet, at least. I think they have to figure out an identity with him and figure out a way for him to feel more comfortable at that 5 role. at a higher level, right? I mean, because he's done this before. He's played this role before. But he needs to get used to this, playing this role at a higher level like he is here at UTEP. Let's go to the phones. We got a couple calls to get to. 915-505-6009. A couple more posts coming in on Twitter and X as well. As Missouri State, by the way, in football, winding down their game against the Miners. They're at the UTEP 20. 1 minute, 55 seconds left, just right out of the two-minute timeout. And their quarterback, Clark, sliding inside the 10-yard line after a nice pickup. They're going to get to just run out the clock and win this one right here, say. This one's about over.
It is, and you know, I saw this one on Twitter. Somebody said, put me out of my misery state. Get it?
That's good. That's good. Rustin's going to join us first on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Rustin, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys?
Long time no talk, Rustin. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts.
I think there was a couple things that that I noticed in both games. The first one, I'll talk about football, but in football, it was just great to see a comeback. The officiating is not as where I think it needs to be, but I think you put yourself in a position where you got to overcome officiating. You know, we had another interception that it wouldn't have made any a difference in the outcome, but, you know, another call on a pass interference, and you put yourself in situations where you got to make plays. And so things like that. But the fight to come back is really good. I think you guys, I think it was just a little while ago, I don't know if I caught the whole thing, but somebody, I think it was either you or Zay, somebody had said, you could see the discrepancy in the cost of the players.
Yeah,
and
yeah, like the,
somebody
the
had,
right
I forgot,
yeah.
like $2 million or whatever it was. And I'm just not a big fan of the NIL or how it works. But I remember last year at the end of the basketball season, a lot of people saying, we just need, I guess the term would be dogs. We just need dogs, right? And I think you got them. The problem is, and the first answer that's going to come right back, preface to this, to any answer after mine is, well, look at what Missouri State did this year. Look at what Delaware has done this year. And I've been a Miner fan forever, and I've played sports. I've been in it. I can tell you that FCS is just as good as any FBS team. Not long ago in this year, I could put North Dakota State against a lot of big-name teams, and they could take them out. They not only could they take them out, they'll be real competitive with them. The notion of the FCS coming up where you kind of go into the thing like, I remember a long time ago when I used to live in El Paso, man, the teams are going to move to 5A. They're going to dominate. It's the same El Paso thing that happens in playoffs every year. I saw it yesterday. So I think the notion has to be this. You have to, with Golding, and if you guys are there with him, and I've had the opportunity to go to camp, so I've had the opportunity to meet him. My family has been able to meet him. You got to be a dog. And I think Zay said this. If you ain't going to hustle 110%, do not expect UTEP to win. So you got to find that player that's going to do that, right? You have got to find that dog. You know, you've got to find the Jamal West, who's 6'6", who still averaged 7 rebounds a game. You know, we have a 6'10" guy on there. I can't think of his name, but he gets no position. I'm talking like, put your elbow into somebody. Get yourself in there. Golding can't be on the floor to do that. But what he can do is, I guess on the bench side, is put in there, get a foul, show him you belong. Get in there, get a personal foul, get a technical. And that's what we're going to have to do, because if it comes down to paying for it, I think they played Weber State, and Weber State almost, if you guys watched the game, I had an opportunity to watch it because I just like watching the smaller schools play. Weber State did pretty good and held them on three-point shots. They were dogs on defense. I think what you really need to see from this team is, don't expect 80-point games. don't expect the 70-point games. But what we should expect is, hey, Coach Golding, and I love Golding, he's a great player, you just got to play like a dog with him. And if you ain't going to play like a dog with him, he's going to tell you, you're going to look at the loss. He's going to show you this is what happens when you're not a dog. And when you see that on the court, you know, the drive's not driving it in. I don't care if you can drive in against UTPD. Heck, my sons can do that. But Loyola Marymount, that first half, I was like, whoa, that's the dog. That's the dog UTEP team that I've been looking for. And then the dog got away. And unfortunately, we don't have the size. So we have to play with that mentality on basketball. And it's very difficult to play with that mentality for 40 minutes every single day. And so what I would ask, though, I don't have any money in the game. I don't have the opportunity to do that. But as a fan of Golding and this team, Golding, get it in them and say, look, I'll play with the best five for 40 minutes. I just need five dogs. Don't even care if you lose. Just get in there and be a dog. For the football team, Like I said, I called earlier this season. I'm not a big rah-rah guy. I do like Coach Walden. I'm not a big rah-rah guy. I just wasn't brought up that way when I played. I mean, we did bull in the ring in football. But at some point, everybody goes through injuries in the season. And I'm going to preface by saying this. I listened to a radio station, and I think it was Kaplowitz or it was you. And you guys were interviewing Ben Wallace, and he said something during this interview, maybe it was 2 years ago. And I think it's beneficial for every coach and every person in every industry to do. Read books on leadership and how to build that leadership. And he made his entire coaching staff read a book on leadership. I don't know which one it was. I'd have to go back. It was on 600. You guys did an excellent thing with him. And he had this book. Last year, they go to the NCAA. He read it the year before they went to the NCAA. And now look where they are. Because yeah. It doesn't matter that Kyle Weaver got injured. It doesn't matter that they had injuries. He had dogs on that team. And please don't take that out of preface, but you could put the smallest girl in there, that little girl from Japan or wherever she's from. She's a dog. She's diving. She's doing everything you can. And so I don't buy the notion of injuries. I don't buy the notion of being small. I don't buy the notion of you have to have a $3 million roster. What I do buy is when I go out there and I see a 6'10" guy can't even out jump a 6'6" guy. That's where you kind of have to look at it from a fan standpoint, because at some point I go, Golding, that's not the dog that you preach. Go right out there, and if they're going to beat you, you make them turn around and go, wow, they had to put up the biggest fight to beat us. And right now I think, and I agree with Zay, in the money sports for UTEP, I don't know if I think people in El Paso, unless they are totally delusional, I don't think that the people in El Paso are thinking we're at the same level as even Texas Tech. You never will be. They have billionaire oil people building their sports. You never will be. But I do think the people in El Paso do expect you to be a dog.
Yeah. Hey, Rustin, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for the good conversation, good monologue on your side talking about it. I'll say this, as far as Ben Wallace goes, he even said it this week, like I asked him about weathering the storm. Like, what does it take to weather the storm this way? And he just credited his...
You're listening to Minor Talk special right here, and looks like we got Adrian back.
Oh, sorry about that, Zay. I was saying over here on the program, Zay, here on the side, that volleyball is one of those teams right there. Volleyball has done such a good job on their side and having so much success year over year, and they've never really made excuses, Zay, not at all.
Correct. And I mean, they easily could have faltered. You know, there was some moments there where this team easily could have faltered after big losses, right? Last year, you know, they fought NMSU at home in the semifinals. Their season was on the line there. They easily could have faltered. They were able to make the NCAA tournament after that, battled Oklahoma in five sets. I mean, they got dominated. Not even swept. They got dominated at home this year against UCLA. The whole season could have been a downward slope after that, but they didn't. They fought back. And you said it perfectly. They don't make excuses. You know, Kai Weaver goes down. Emma Uskoković, I mean, she was probably their best player. A lot of people like to point out Kai Weaver. Emma Uskoković, coming into this year, was probably the best hitter on that team. She goes down with a non-contact injury before the season even starts. And look at them. They have dogs. I mean, you heard Rustin say it. They really do have dogs on that team that they want to win. It's a winning culture, and you see how much that can be done, that, you know, it's the next man up mentality, and it's worked perfectly for them. So you just see the difference in, I don't want to discredit Joe Golding and what he's built at UTEP, or Scotty, what he's trying to build, but the cultures in those locker rooms and those programs, I mean, they're night and day.
I agree. I think they're night and day as well. As we continue, 915-505-6009-600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. Let's go to the phones. Jake is next with us. Jake, good afternoon. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Adrian Zay. What's up, man?
Oh, go ahead, Jay. Jake, you give us your thoughts.
Well, I just want to speak some facts real quick, and I got some interesting notes here. You know, I think it's kind of beating a dead horse, you know, talking about getting rid of Center and Golding and possibly Walden. But I think Walden, you're gonna have to wait a couple of years so he could get his, you know, 3 or 4 years in, see what he can build. Because the guys do play hard for him. I'm not, you know, I think his play calling is questionable and his overall execution of the game is a little questionable. But I think that could be fixed with the right OC hire and, you know, just some time. But as far as Coach Golding goes and just Center overall with the athletic program, you know, I was doing some math here, and I, with FIU excluded from this, every other Conference USA school, the city they're in, if you add up the populations of all those cities, it doesn't even equal up to El Paso. It's still below El Paso. For example, I mean, Las Cruces out-recruits us almost every year, and you have to fly into El Paso to get to Las Cruces. How are we getting out-recruited and outperformed by, you know, Springfield, Missouri, and, you know, Jacksonville, Alabama, and, you know, Newark, Delaware is more successful than El Paso, Texas. I'm like, part of me wants to think, is it like, do young college guys just not want to live in El Paso anymore because they have so many options and they think that there's just so many better places? But, man, Center just, you know, he's got to come to terms with, he just made the wrong decision, especially when it came to the basketball program. You know, Golding, respectfully to Zay, I don't think he's built anything, to be honest. I think there's no point in preaching defense and having gritty defensive teams when you can't put the ball in the bucket consistently. And he's yet to put together a team that can score efficiently or, you know, consistently in his 5 years here. And, you know, part of me wants to mention, you know, Coach Terry, you know, he wasn't the best X's and O's guys, but geez, man, at least he could recruit some guys that could put the ball in the bucket. And it just seems like we haven't gotten that in so long. And it's kind of sad how we're just getting out-recruited and beaten by these smaller schools.
You know, it's something that we've been talking about, Jake, a lot here on the program. I mean, you're kind of blending the two, right? In football, they lose to Missouri State today, and that's a team making that jump. Kind of like Russell was talking about, FCS to FBS. He kind of minimized it. I won't. I'll say that it's still a tough jump. But these teams, for whatever reason, they're finding success early. Kennesaw State in year two, Jacksonville State since year one, Missouri State here in year one having success, Delaware for flirting with bowl eligibility, although they can't technically be qualified for bowl eligibility after year one in the mix. But still, they're showing a lot of success. So you're mixing that one with the side of Golding, which is, you know, it's two games in, right? And they're struggling. This also is a bit of carryover from last season, how disappointed fans were. I think this team, this staff, they're going to have to keep their head down, Jake. And if anything, they're going to have to prove things in January and February, because I don't really see it happening here in November or December where they start to prove to fans who they are, their identity, and all that. I think they're going to have to figure out what they're made of in January when conference play hits and hope that they're a better team by then. I don't know if that's going to happen, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's like, all right, you know, Golding, you know, got his extension, and, you know, yeah, it's November. You know, who really cares what the results in Logan, Utah are today or whatever. But, you know, when it comes down to, you know, February and January and March, and, you know, if we continue to lose to these teams that are smaller programs and have less money than us and smaller facilities and smaller cities, like El Paso's got plenty of people there to support and pay, and, you know, compared to these small cities, like if we continue to come up short in this tournament, like let's say for the Conference USA tournament, for example, I mean, do you just get rid of Golding after this year? I mean, after this year, because if you can't get it done against Missouri State, you're not going to get it done against Nevada.
No. And like, that's where you really are going to take a next step forward. And I feel the same. Actually, I feel the same way about football, Jake. I think, you know, you were saying how Walden over the offseason can make some changes, but I feel the same way about football, maybe even more so. In basketball, there's at least an argument that it's a multi-bid league, you know, to get into the NCAA tournament in the Mountain West. But in football, you really get worried because who's the cellar dwellers in the Mountain West? It was before San Jose. It was before teams like Hawaii and stuff like that. And then what happens when UTEP gets there next year? Is it just automatically UTEP? Are they the cellar dwellers? And do they just struggle in both money-making sports? I don't really know, but it's something that they're going to have to fix, and it is an institutional problem. I appreciate your phone call, Jake. Thanks for weighing in. Zay, let me get your thoughts. Some good phone calls right there. We had both Rustin and Jake, and then, hey, let's talk to Jason. Jason, you give me your thoughts. JT Money, Jason Tafoya, after a good string of phone calls.
JT Money here, Adrian, and, you know, I'm here. I hear the phone calls. I'm understanding the frustration right now with the basketball team. We're having a slow offense. You know, and the other frustration I'm hearing, too, and I especially want to pull this out from Jake's conversation, was, you know, the recruiting here, I don't think it's necessarily about young men, young women wanting to come out here to play sports. I don't think that there's not an attraction El Paso has, because we have a very welcoming community. For the part that, you know, a lot of recruits might be seeing is, you know, the comments that we were talking about earlier. It's the mood in the locker room. It is night and day between some of these programs. And personally, as a recruit, if I'm looking on the inside from out, I don't see UTEP as a very appealing program for basketball or football, because it doesn't seem like they got their locker room in order. And then, you know, something else that's going to be another issue is, well, we've been talking about it and all the time, is just the money. We don't have the money to get higher level athletes. We saw it today with, you know, they were bigger than us and they were a little bit better than us. So
I hear what you're saying. I agree with the latter more than I agree with the first point that you made. I think it's hard to just say, oh, locker rooms are lost. I think that's a really tough thing to say, or they're not bought in, or they're just not there yet. That's tough to know. Like, I don't want to go that route, but I do agree with you on the latter, and I do agree with you that El Paso is still appealing to all these players when they're recruits. We've heard it from a lot of coaches. Just get them here to El Paso, and convincing them to stay is not as hard as just getting them here to the city in the first place. Zay, let's go back to you. Rustin made some really good points in his phone call. Jake followed it up with some really good points on his phone call. And it's just fans who feel like this is a bigger problem than just losing here in back-to-back games for men's basketball and for football. They're taking some bigger picture storylines away from these losses.
Well, it is a bigger issue than losing tonight, right? I mean, UTEP football has not been nearly, I wouldn't even say successful, like, they have not been good since the 2021 season, where, I mean, 7-6 is not good in the grand scheme of college football, but it's good at UTEP, and I guess that's the bigger issue here, right? Your expectations for a good football team rely on you barely getting over 500. And when it comes to basketball, I mean, this is supposed to be where, you know, UTEP fans have glimmers of hope. This is where, historically, this program has been one of the better. It's been, you know, kind of the baby of UTEP athletics. And look at it now. They're losing, you know, by nearly 30 on the road to a Utah State team who is going to probably be in the NCAA tournament. But the bigger issue, I mean, that is a regional opponent. That is somebody that you've played in the past. That is somebody that, you know, fans will look at and still think, we should be on the same level as them. And the basketball program has not been successful since their conference
championship run a couple years ago. And even then, I mean, that season was all but lost before that run. Like, let's say UTEP gets upset. Let's say they don't, you know, somehow miraculously come back and beat Liberty in that first game. Like, we're talking about a completely different world of athletics, and I mean, that's the big issue here. UTEP has not won in the money-making sports consistently this decade. They have not won consistently really since the early 2010s, and that's the big issue here is fans just want to see a winner, and they haven't got that.
They haven't got it, indeed. 915-505-6009, our telephone number, 600-ESPN, El Paso, Twitter, next. UTEP volleyball defeats Florida International. They take a share of the Conference USA regular season championship. Men's basketball falls today. Utah State defeats UTEP 75-51. Football falls today as well. Missouri State defeated UTEP 38-24. Let's talk football now. The Miners, they were down early in this game. Another game where they start off slow. The Bears were up 24-7 at the half, and the Bears were up 24-7. First touchdown for them was a fourth down conversion that led to a rushing touchdown. The second touchdown to put them up 17-0 was a fourth and inches play that was a 9-yard passing touchdown, and then the Miners scored. It looked okay. It was like, okay, 17-7. And then right before half, Missouri State finds their way to the end zone. They score, and they go up 24-7 at the half. I thought that was as bad of a first half as you can get today. That was terrible of what I saw from football in that first period.
Yeah, it was very, very bad, and it's a slow start. You know, it's a slow start over and over again. So let me get to some calls.
All right, let's do it. 915-505-6009. Second half, the Miners come roaring back. 17 points unanswered. Momentum is all on their side. They tie the game up. How crazy is that? I mean, it's back-to-back-to-back games where the Miners are tied with their opponent going into the fourth quarter. And even though they look good in the third quarter, and even though they're making some kind of tangible progress offensively, playing complementary football is still something UTEP is trying to learn. And for football, they were not able to hold up defensively. They allowed two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Offense couldn't generate anything in the fourth quarter. And the game was over, 38-24. I mean, look at how that fourth quarter went for Missouri State. They have a long six-minute drive that ends in a touchdown, 75-yard touchdown drive. They give it back to UTEP, three and out by the Miner offense. Then Missouri State gets the ball back, a long 74-yard touchdown drive, and they punch it in with another one and score. 38-24 is the lead and is the win for Missouri State, Zay. And that's how it all finishes up. It was the tail of quarters, not even the tail of halves. It was just a flip and flop between a roller coaster of a game.
Yeah, and I mean, just disappointing, right? You'd rather lose by... I mean, they still lose by double digits, but in a way, I mean, this game was so winnable in the fourth quarter. That's why UTEP fans are so frustrated because, I mean, you felt it. They were right there, but they've been right there all year, right? And we know what this pressure is going to be like. You know, this team is getting better. This team is getting closer. We're right there. I know you guys don't see it. We're right there. It's been the story all year. They're right there, and they're just they haven't been able to get over that hump to actually win the games that they need to go out there and do. And it's sad. You know, I said it last Miner Talk. I'll say it again. You're not going to have opportunities against, you know, let's call it what it is, the worst conference in FBS football anymore. You're not going to have opportunities against a Missouri State team that should not have seven wins. You know, all respect to them. If they're in any other conference, they're not 7-3 right now. You know, Conference USA is a terrible conference that gives you an opportunity to win week in and week out that you're not going to get in the Mountain West. And so they need to find ways to clean this one up before that happens. And, yeah, it's just disappointing. You know, you got the punt block, this game is tied, and the defense just absolutely falters when they really needed them the most.
Let's go to the phones, 915-505-6009. We're taking calls. If you want to weigh in, now is the time to do it, 915-505-6009. We can talk basketball. We can talk football. We could even talk volleyball. Ace is going to join us next on the phone lines. Ace, good afternoon. What's going on? Ace, go ahead.
Hello. Hello, can you
hello,
hear me?
Ace, go ahead, man.
Hello, Ace, go ahead. I would just like to weigh in on just what
how what's going on with the whole athletic program and stuff. And, you know, people are talking about, yeah, the other markets are comparable to us, like New Mexico State. New Mexico State, amid the murder allegations that took place just a couple years ago, the sexual violations and stuff that was going on in that locker room, and yet they have lived it. Their program went to, like, zero, like, to start all over, and yet it looks like they're coming out more productive than UTEP is at this point. And that's very frustrating.
That's where you're frustrated, just because you're comparing it to New Mexico State and the basketball program? Because I think that's just like the tip of the iceberg, right?
Right, right. And then another thing is, I'd like to weigh in on this, that I witnessed myself, the people that do want to support the athletic program. And they put a lot of obstacles for them. There was, when I was picking up my football tickets this last fall, there was an elderly couple in the ticket office. And she was saying, I can't believe that you guys can't mail our season tickets. We've been season ticket holders forever. My husband, I don't know who it was, my husband has taught here at this university for 53 years, and you guys cannot mail our tickets. And they went and got one of the other supervisors to come out, but pretty much they came out with the same thing. Well, yeah, that's just the way that we're doing it now. You either get the tickets electronically, or you have to come and pick them up. She's all, do you understand that what it takes for a 90-year-old couple to do an errand like this? It takes half a day. When that issue could have been solved, you get one of the guys that's there, hey, do me a favor, go take these tickets to this couple tomorrow, and that's it. That's the end of that.
Yeah, that's
they
a
take
really,
away
I mean,
they take away our tailgating
like
spots. My family
like
had been tailgating for over 25 years, and the places that they've taken away. So it's like, but yet they want people to support the program. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I hear you, Ace. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. We've heard those stories before, and it's, you know, as far as being conducive to fans and to being conducive to certain fans who've been loyal their whole lives, like that story right there, we've heard stories like that too and hate hearing stories like that. So appreciate your thoughts, Ace. I thank you for calling in on the program and voicing your frustrations. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. Missouri State in football beats UTEP 38-24. Couple stats, say, to talk about and to go over here on the program. Skylar Locklear, 14-29, 125 yards. He had two rushing touchdowns, 56 rushing yards on the ground, 16 attempts on the ground as well. On the other side, you look at their quarterback, and a tall, tall quarterback in Jacob Clark. By the way, I like what he does. 30 of 39 through the air, 330 passing yards, four passing touchdowns in this matchup. He leads Missouri State to 436 of total offense. UTEP, Zay, with only 240 yards of total offense on their side.
Yeah, you know, and the funny part is a lot of people are going to blame the defense, but the offense was half asleep most of this game, right? They only scored two touchdowns, have that field goal, and yeah, I mean, it's a story. You know, fans probably sick of it. The offense really doesn't show up, and they're not playing complimentary football. Like, I know we get those comments a lot, but they really aren't, right? It feels like when the offense is firing, they're looking good. The defense just isn't having a good, you know, drive or two, and vice versa, right? They're not playing off each other, and it's killing UTEP. That's why we're seeing them crawl back into these games, but one side falters, and just like that, it all crumbles down.
Let's go over to Twitter and X. We'll read some comments. We'll start to wind down the show. And I appreciate you, Zay. I appreciate Jason Tafoya. Sal Montha is probably not going to make it with us here on the program today because of the post-game show with us right now. Atha 99. And people wanted the basketball season to start considering how bad football was. At least Scotty is in his second year. Golding has...
You're listening to Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso. You can call in with your thoughts, 915-505-6009, after UTEP football's 38-24 loss against Missouri State. And then UTEP basketball's big 20-point loss to Utah State on the road. Call in with your thoughts. Right now we have full phone lines. We're waiting for our host, our guy Adrian Broaddus. He's joining us on location. He's going to reconnect, but we can get you guys right back up here to talk some UTEP football, some UTEP hoops. We'll hit a break right here, our first break of the evening, and we'll get you right back right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
All right, welcome back. Minor Talk continues here along with Zay and Jason. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Thanks to the guys holding it down for us here on the program today. We're presented by Jack in the Box with 24, they're open 24/7, 365 because cravings don't have a curfew. Couple tweets to get to on Twitter and X. This is coming in from Poncho. Embarrassing loss to a team to a new to FBS. Scotty Walden can say all he wants about progress and getting close to breaking out, but at the end, his teams can't win. The defense failed to show up when they were needed most. David Castro, amazing state of affairs when Missouri State is closer to sifting a conference championship in year one than UTEP football will ever be. Truly inspiring stuff. Hashtag pathetic, hashtag sarcasm. Tim at that El Paso guy, what is there to even say anymore that hasn't been said week after week? Same song and dance, literally from Walden. Nothing but a cheerleader. He's not Division I coach material. What else is going to take for center to grow a pair and fire him? Wow. Tough stuff right there. Matthew Castro, Jim Center will continue to point the finger at El Paso's community for lack of support and resources. So how does school like Missouri State get it done? Scotty Walden will say it takes time to build a program. Missouri State figured out FBS in year one. Embarrassing. Angry Tim Floyd, an embarrassing display from Walden on the sideline with his tantrums. The face of the program has turned into an embarrassment. No pride left. Ugh, man. Pick my axe 915. Had expectations of 5 wins this year. That's now unreachable. This team is bad enough. UTEP may not reach last year's win total. Between the terrible football and basketball teams, apathy of this athletic department is setting in. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to it. Cruz is going to join us first. 915-505-6009. Cruz, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Good afternoon. Hey, but if you go to high school football games here locally, a lot of parents go in groups, and they talk amongst themselves, and they even talk to the younger students. You know, they have a brother playing football, and they talk to their younger brothers and sisters. And they talk about, you know, they don't want to come here because, you know, we're losing traditions. We haven't won. And they say there's nothing to do here. And they also point out we don't back the teams up enough. So we have a few problems here that somehow we need to figure out how to solve them. Like somehow if we could just put together some winning seasons and lure more of our students here, because they won't come here because they don't want to go to a school that usually doesn't win. They want to go somewhere where they can win. And you go to other places in Texas, and they got plenty of things to do. But compared to us, we can't compete with them, you know, with all the things that they can do that kids like to do and have fun doing.
I hear you, Cruz. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. I hear what you're saying right there. It's not a good thing in terms of the I guess you could say the reputation they have right now. And I think it's a bigger picture kind of deal than, you know, some of the things you were mentioning right there. But let's go to Brian. He's joining us next. 915-505-6009. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
Sounds like that. You know, Adrian, it sounds like I'd be saying the same things week in and week out, but, you know, it's just true with the matter how the Miners have played. I wanted to take note of this. NMSU, which is about to be 3-7, they took Missouri State to overtime. That should be adamant to how bad the program is in this state, and I'm not even confident in how they'll play next week, because I do want to bring up another thing that a lot of my fellow fans have brought up. Walden has not really built up a good line for his team and all that. The way Walden's scheme runs requires a decent O-line, but he hasn't been able to build that here at the university and all that, because no matter who you put in that quarterback, it's not going to matter because your run game is not there due to no line. And when you have no run game, you have to pass a lot, and that results in a bunch of bad decisions and terrible football all around. And overall, a lot of what I wanted to say was done by a previous caller, especially on the dog part, but I will mention one thing. A lot of our NIL money went to a guy who's riding our bench right now. So that's all I really got to say, Adrian. Frustrating
okay.
on multiple fronts.
I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. Alluding to Malachi right there being the guy who's occupying a lot of that NIL, but obviously not playing right now. Let's keep it moving on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. George is next up with us this afternoon. I keep saying evening and then afternoon. It's the afternoon still. George, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
How's it going, Nathan? How's it going, Zay? How's it going, everybody over at the radio station? Well, you know, one thing that I can honestly say, I was keeping track of the game. I really wasn't watching it, but what I saw or what I witnessed was a lot of disconnect of what Zay was pointing up on what Zay was saying as far as complimentary football. Yeah, that's one of the major issues that this team has is there's no cohesiveness, there's no complementary, there's nothing. When one is doing great, the other one's faltering, and there's no really coming together, and that's the issue here. Another thing is, you know, we as a community have to come together and help this team. And how do we do that? By contributing to the NIL on whatever levels it is. I mean, we can sit here and gripe and complain. We're not going to get any real level of talent here unless we do that. We're like the wicked stepchild of Texas. We're way in the western part of Texas. A lot of people don't even know us, and what they do know is they know that Juarez, and everybody knows that that's pretty dangerous, but they correlate that with El Paso. Not only that, the fact of that the basketball team is still not playing at its level. We have to give it a chance to go into. This is the second game in the early season. I mean, let's talk about this when January, February rolls around, right? You can't do it right now. I mean, you cannot evaluate a team based on two losses. I mean, really, realistically, let's be honest. Let's give the team a chance to get. He had to start from scratch, Golden did. So you have to give them that opportunity to get this team together, playing together, because these guys have not played together. They don't know each other. You know, he had to really literally start from scratch again. And, yeah, it's very easy for us to say, hey, from the outside looking in, hey, we want success. Well, you got to wait. You got to give it time for these players to get to know each other and get to know their strength so that that way they can get something going, build something. You can't just right off the bat, because this is going bad, just head for the hills. You got to give it time to develop. You know, as far as the football team, we know we're expecting the best, but we don't get it. And I get the frustration, but at the same time, our NIL money is sitting down riding the bench. Well, then what we have to do as a community is come together and support by supporting financially. All the Paul Fosters in the world can help as much as they can, but it takes everyone as a collective to help this university.
I agree. Hey, George, I agree. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. I would also say this. It's not just, you know, not just on the fans. I would say this. It's also a commitment from the university, the administration. I'm talking from the top, like with Heather Wilson for NIL. And that includes trying to push the needle. That includes trying to get more NIL resources through other ways that they can get it outside of maybe even their alumni base or donor base, and being creative with that. So I appreciate your phone call, George. Thank you for weighing in. Zay, I want to bring you back in for your thoughts on that one right there, because that was a lot that George said. We had some good comments also from Chris, frustrations boiling up from fans. I just think it's hard. We've talked about this before. What's easier to do? Support when they're winning or support when they're losing? And right now, you know, your dad and George was talking about how they were, you know, they've got to have some momentum even when they're down, even when they're not having success. And I think that's hard for a lot of fans to support when they're down, when they're simply not doing well.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to sink money into a program that just lost to an FBS newcomer? Who wants to sink money into a program that just got destroyed by, you know, a team that everybody expects you to be on par with? I mean, nobody wants to support, especially financially, losing programs. I mean, those that have donated in the past,
look what they've gotten out of it. You've got, you know, a basketball team that's lost 10 of their last 11 to Division I opponents. You've got a football team that is 2-8, and they're trending towards yet another disappointing season. I mean, there's no momentum when it comes to, you know, fans wanting to donate. You know, you're not going to get many opportunities to ask the community to give you money when you're losing, right? Maybe.
Right.
The only you have to somehow sell a winning program to not only the players in your locker room, but to the fans. And right now, there's not much you can sell after today's losses.
I'm going to just give some final thoughts here on the program. I think we've had some great calls, some great posts that have come in. Shout out to George Wajardo. He checked in. Losing to essentially FCS schools means UTEP should be at the FCS level. I can't fathom how this program still can't figure this out. AD Center and President Wilson, however, deserve the lion's share of the blame. What do you guys think? I mean, look, like, everybody wants to comment on the admin. I think they have to take a real look inward after these years, especially after football, and reassess on how they want to move forward. I'm not saying firing people left and right, but I think they have to take a good look in the mirror and see how they can actually win in these athletic programs moving forward. I mean, dwindling attendance, losing after losing, it just goes on and on. Zay, I'll give you some final thoughts on both men's basketball and football. And if you want to sprinkle in some volleyball, go ahead. Give me some final thoughts here as we wind down Minor Talk.
Yeah, I mean, the big one for me is it's disappointing, right? It's a disappointing loss, yet here we are once again, another Minor Talk where fans are angry and fans are fed up. So UTEP needs to find a way to win, right? They need to find a way to win games, and that's both basketball and football, because even the diehard fans are slowly giving out, and the future just isn't bright right now. You know, it's a sombering, like, something we don't want to talk about, but that's the truth, right? Who's going to come to the games in 10, 20 years? The people that are at UTEP right now, the young people like myself, like my age, and the most winning that they've gotten to see in the 2020s was a 7-5 football team, a 20-win basketball team. Like, you're not building your fan base from the bottom up.
No, you're not. No, you're not on that. Hey, Javier, I appreciate your call. Let's go to you real quick here on the program with some final thoughts. 915-505-6009. This is our last caller here, and Javier, who's joining us this afternoon. Go ahead, Javier.
Thanks, Adrian. I'm calling from Denver, and you know, I'm just really upset with these calls about the fans having to step up, you know, like first of all, like, El Paso doesn't have as many resources. And second of all, like, we've always stepped up. We've always led the conferences in whatever conference we've been, right? Like, in attendance. And
even the down years, Javier. Even the down years.
Exactly. It's time for President Wilson to hear our voice and to put accountability on Jim Center. Because, you know, like, we've led the conference, like, in fans, and it's just ridiculous. Like, the fact that Coach Golding got extended, I mean, that says a lot, you know, when most of the fans were against it, you know? And so it was upsetting, and this is the result of it. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Good job, Javier. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Winding down the show here on the program. It's been a great program. We really appreciate everybody here joining us on Minor Talk, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X. And then, of course, check us out, 600 ESPN El Paso, our free mobile app. Can't thank Jason Tafoya enough. Can't thank Zay Galindo enough for all their help here on the program today. But we're going to wind it down here on the program. My final thoughts here, men's basketball back in action next week. Oh, we're not going to get much from them. They're going to have to do their work in practice, and we'll learn a little bit more about them in the Jacksonville Classic. For football, 2-8, Battle of I-10. I still see them beating New Mexico State, but we can talk about that all of next week. Battle of I-10 week, rivalry week between the Miners and the Aggies starting up next week. That'll do it for us here on the program. For Zay Galindo, for Jason Tafoya, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off tonight, and thank you so much for listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box on 600 ESPN El Paso.